Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Well, this morning an old friend returns to the roundtable. Joan Grenier has not been with us, according to my records, for almost a year.
That's not correct.
Okay, when were you last here?
I came right before our anniversary, remember, with Emily?
When was that?
In November.
You're right. We don't keep good records. I don't keep good records.
That's okay.
Yeah. I had it as June.
Well, you know, Hannah comes now. Hannah Musabek, our children's director, and Emily comes. You know, we're spreading it around, so you get all the fantastic
I love seeing you.
Booksellers.
So I'm very glad that you're here, and you brought a friend.
And a
colleague, Chrysler Zarlin. Am I right on the last name?
You are absolutely right, Joe.
Absolutely. And an author, a bookseller, and with us. And I believe you're going to begin.
I am.
The hit parade.
I'm going to begin the hit parade.
Excellent. Where would you like to start?
Well, I'm going to recommend three books, and they're all picks for our first editions club. And I'm going to start with our May pick, which is Ruby by Cynthia Bond. She's a debut author, and she's already being compared to Toni Morrison. This is a fantastic, beautifully written debut. And the novel opens in a small East Texas town. And when Cynthia was here, I learned that East Texas is actually part of the South, which I didn't know before.
All
but
right.
it's a small Southern town. And it's called Liberty. It's, excuse me, it's a black part of the town. And Ruby is kind of the town crazy person. And she has suffered greatly as a child from all kinds of abuse. She escaped Liberty briefly for a few years to go to New York. But she's brought back by the death of her best friend and her first love, and she kind of has a psychotic break at that point, and is just reviled and made fun of in the town. But her childhood friend Ephraim Jennings is still in love with her. He fell in love with her when he was just a boy, and has maintained that love for her. But he's kind of an everyman. He is not very strong-willed. He's not quite sure how to help her. But he sees an incident with her. So he knows that she's kind of reached the lowest point possible. And he decides to bring her a cake. And he gets his sister, who's very overbearing, to bake this cake, and it's kind of a Proustian cake. You remember this cake, like, you will remember the description of this cake for the rest of your life. And from that point on, the book is this journey of Ephraim to take the cake to Ruby, and you learn about her past, his past, the past of the town, which haunts her. And the question becomes, and you're sort of on the edge of your seat after a while, whether this cake is going to bring Ephraim and Ruby together, if there's going to be some kind of redemption of Ruby and of the town. And it's so gorgeously written that you can open this book to any page and read any sentence and be blown away by the gorgeousness of the language. So that's our pick for May.
It's Ruby by Cynthia Bond, a beautiful
and
review.
I second the emotion here, since we're doing Hit Parade and things
yes.
like that.
Yep.
It's really a fabulous book, and I'm hoping that she gets a wide audience for this. I think it's going to grow slowly, but there's a buzz about it.
That's wonderful. Ruby by Cynthia Bond.
I'm going to go on to The Garden of Burning Sand by Corbin Addison from Quercos. I love that name. I think it's oak in Latin. It's something like that.
Is it?
It's a British publisher that has an offices in this country now. This is Corbin Addison's second book, and he is always involved in exposing gender-based violence. His first book, which I haven't read, now I have to go back and read, is A Walk Across the Sun, and that was set in Mumbai and tells the horrific story of modern slavery. The second book is set in Zambia, which was one of the attractions for me. so this part of Africa. I got close to Zambia when I was in my 20s. I got to Tanzania, which borders it. But this is actually a legal thriller. It's fast-paced. John Grisham gives it a good review, but it has a social conscience. It's about a young girl with Down syndrome who's brutally raped in Lusaka, the capital. Her mother had been a nursing student, very promising nursing student, but as things happen, she ends up in prostitution and also contracts HIV/AIDS and has died. The main character is an American human rights attorney, Zoe Fleming, and she's working with a group in a London-based group, Coalition of International Legal Advocates, and they work on human rights abuses around the world. So she's working with her African colleagues, particularly the Zambian Police Victim Support Unit, which is a little bit like those TV show. What's that TV show? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Like cops?
Yeah. Special Victims Unit.
Yeah.
So they're, because there's so little support for rape victims. There's not even a DNA clinic in Lusaka. They have to send the tests to Johannesburg, South Africa. And so there's an arrest, but he's the son of a powerful Zambian family. And a lot goes on in this book. Talks about the corruption, the national election, lack of resources. There's even all kinds of intimidation, including a black mambo snake, which is very deadly, and ends up in Zoe's bedroom, and the threatening of witnesses. So this covers a lot of ground, and he's going to be with us on May 20th. The book just came out this week, but I think this is somebody we're going to be hearing about. He is an attorney, and he has spent time around the world and working on these kinds of abuse cases.
The Garden of Burning Sand by Corbin Addison. Chrysler.
And my second book, which is also a first edition's pick for the Odyssey, is All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. And this is another historical novel. Ruby also was. It was set in the 50s and 60s in the rural South. But All the Light We Cannot See is set during World War II, mostly in occupied France and Germany. And it's told in three alternating voices. And the first is a young girl. She's 16 years old, a blind girl. Her name is Marie Laura. And her father is the locksmith for a Museum of Natural History in Paris. And their prized piece in their collection is a diamond called the Sea of Flames. It's a legendary diamond. And like all legendary diamonds, it has a story behind it, and it has special powers. And it's supposed to carry immortality for whoever possesses it, but also like the worst luck in the world. So you can be immortal, but you will have terrible luck for your period of immortality. But when the Nazis are coming into Paris, the museum director has three copies of this diamond made and gives them to people who are evacuating. And no one knows, none of the people who carry these stones know which is the real one. But Marie Laure's father is one of the people who have it, who have one of the stones. And he has built these little models for her as a blind girl so that she can memorize the section of the city in Paris where she lives so that she can get around. And he builds another model just like that of Saint-Malo, the town in Brittany that they come to, and hides the diamond there. And in the meantime, you're also reading the story of a young boy named Werner, who is a radio geek. And he has been kind of plucked from an orphanage in Germany and goes to this very elite boys' school and becomes a kind of an elite member of a Nazi corps. And it's the story of the two of them and the Nazi who is looking for the Sea of Flames. And they alternate voices. So you know that there's going to be a convergence by the end of these three people and their stories. It's a fantastically written book. It would be a good pick for Father's Day for any fiction reading dads out there who also like to read about World War II.
It's also based on this incredible Battle of Saint Malo, which is an ancient fortress, and lots of catacombs.
Right, and we go back and forth between the past during the war, right, and the siege of Saint Malo in 1944, a few months after D-Day.
Yeah, after D-Day.
All the White We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr, and that is, as you said, a first edition selection,
and we'll have signed copies available, I believe, on May 15th, 2 days from now.
Excellent. All the White We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. Joan.
Well, I'm going to talk about Richard Hoffman and his new memoir, Love and Fury. This is an author that I wasn't really familiar with, but a lot of writers really love Richard Hoffman. He's a senior writer in residence at Emerson College, and he's the author of three books of poetry, one collection of short stories, and an earlier memoir that I have to go back and read, Half the House, which details his abuse by a baseball coach. He comes from the coal country of Pennsylvania, Allentown. His grandfather's a breaker boy in the mines. His father is a paratrooper during World War II. And there's four brothers. Unfortunately, two of them have muscular dystrophy, and two of his brothers die. This is, back in the 50s and 60s when there wasn't so much help. And so that's a huge strain on the family. The Love and Fury is a lot about his relationship with his father. This is a memoir that is incredibly honest and self-reflective and really peels back layers and explains what he thought as a child and why he had to get out of Allentown and why he stayed away for quite a while. It also is about his children, and he has a grandson, and it's reminiscent of the 50s and 60s in many ways. His mother smokes three packs of unfiltered Chesterfields ashtrays all over the house. I can remember, not my parents, but that was so common back then. And, a lot of alcoholism that runs through the family. I'm very much looking forward to hearing him. People like Andre Dubuis III and Richard Russo are big fans of his, and he will be with us on June 4th at 7 p.m. So it's something about the honesty in this book that just stops you in your tracks, and you have to think about that. And you go back and you think about your own relationships with your family members as well.
We have a couple more books to get to. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will talk. We'll find out from Chrysler what her final selection is, and then we'll go to Joan. And we are talking about our book picks for this week from Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts. You can go to odysseybks.com to find out more information about them, about the wonderful events that we've been talking about, as well as the wonderful books. And you can also find the list online on our site at wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Pure Catskills, supporting local farm, food and wood businesses, clean water, and working landscapes throughout the Catskills region. PureCatskills.com. SUNY IT, offering bachelor's degree programs in business, engineering, engineering technology, computer security, and more. SUNYIT.edu for more information. And the Clearwater Festival, June 21st and 22nd at Croton Point Park in Westchester County. Special musical tributes honoring Pete and Toshi Seeger featuring Josh Ritter, The Mavericks, Richard Thompson, and many more. ClearwaterFestival.org.
Welcome back to Book Picks for this Tuesday, and we are delighted to have two wonderful booksellers with us. Joan Grenier of Odyssey Bookshop and her colleague Chrysler Zarlin join us. Again, you can see the complete list at odysseybks.com and find out about the wonderful events and the First Editions Club and all that they've been talking about. And we go to Chrysler now for her final pick for today.
Thanks, Joe. And my final pick is also a First Editions Club pick.
Can you tell she's on the committee to do the selection?
Yeah, that's yeah. good. Well, they're yeah. all near and dear to her heart.
Yes,
that's
and
good.
And it's an honor, and it's really fun to read all these great books. And my last pick is Fourth of July Creek, another debut novel by Smith Henderson. It's set in Montana in the 1980s. It's about a social worker named Pete Snow, who's really dedicated to the families he's assigned to. And you just love this guy because he really wants to do the right thing. But he's also an alcoholic, and his own family has fallen apart. And he is divorced, and his wife has taken their 13-year-old daughter to Texas, and she has a pretty horrible time and ends up running away. So this great, amazing social worker can't prevent the disintegration of his own family. And he's also assigned to a family who is headed up by a survivalist, a patriarchal survivalist, who thinks that the contrails in the sky are somehow monitoring him and watching him. And it's set at right about the time that that President Reagan was shot. So there's a lot of furor. This guy has also threatened the president. So it gets our protagonist in a lot of trouble as well. So as he's searching for his daughter, he's also being investigated and questioned by the FBI. And it so richly describes the landscape of Montana and the West. It's very reminiscent to me of Annie Proulx and Gretel Ehrlich. Mm. If you love those writers, you're going to love Smith Henderson. We will have signed copies of that book on June 5th available.
Wonderful. Yeah, I just got that book on my to my desk yesterday.
Oh, so it's phenomenal.
I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Fourth
a big
of
book.
July Creek, novel by Smith Henderson. Joan?
I'm going to talk about Elizabeth Warren and A Fighting Chance.
All right. You had a big event with her, right?
Yes, in spring she came and spoke in Springfield, and we sold books there, and I was very honored. I got to ask her the questions from the audience.
Oh, nice.
Which was really fun.
Did you slip in your own?
No, I was being good.
Okay, good.
So I first came across Elizabeth Warren when she was on Bill Moyers on his TV show on PBS, and I thought, wow, this woman really makes an awful lot of sense.
Yeah.
And you know, she was talking about the financial crisis and the banks, and I usually don't read political biographies, but this one I have enjoyed immensely. You know, it's her background, which is very unusual. Well, not that unusual. There's a lot of people who come out of poverty and lower middle class that go on to do terrific things. But, you know, she had a very tough childhood. I mean, a very loving family. First one in her family to go to college. I think, you know, some people probably know this story. There's a very touching tale in the book about her mother being forced to go back to work, which was unusual at that time. Women were just starting to go back in the workforce, but her father had had a heart attack and lost part of his job. And goes on to tell about her Aunt Bee, who came to her, came and helped take care of her kids when she was a single mom. And you know, she had made her way through law school and, you know, has gone on to different universities and has become our senator from Massachusetts. And she's just a real fighter. And it's the kind of, you know, it's the kind of person that we need in the Senate. One of the questions I got to ask, and she did write this book. This is not a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
She's written a number of books. And she's a scholar. She really studied bankruptcy, which, you know, has to be a little bit dry. But she was able to have an impact on the laws around that were really affecting middle class families. What was I going to say?
One of the questions that you got to ask
her.
Oh,
one of the questions, yes. Somebody in the audience said, you know, of course, there's always these questions. Are you going to run for president? And
right.
the answer is no. But then somebody said, will you stay in the Senate and become the lioness of the Senate? And that cracked her up and the whole
yeah.
audience. And what a great question. And,
it is.
And, you know, she's out there now fighting for the college loans that are so crippling families. And I do know some families that, you know, the kids just can't pay them back, you
right.
know. So I think it's a really interesting story. It's about her family life, but it's also about policy. It's also about, you know, how she got to become the senator. And we do have signed copies because she was with us. So it's a great graduation gift.
It is Elizabeth Warren's A Fighting Chance. And you can find the entire list by going to their website, Odyssey Books, odysseybks.com. Better yet, here's a better plan. Go visit them at 9 College Street in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and see what they're all about. It's a beautiful store and just one of my favorite places on earth.
Oh, can I just mention that we do have an event tonight
yes.
by with a novelist named Janice Clark. She's written a book called The Rathbones. It's out in paperback, and she's back our way. And when I read it, about a year ago, it reminded me of Lemony Snicket for grown-ups. It's kind of it's kind of like The Odyssey meets Moby Dick, and it's kind of a sweeping tale of a family and the sea.
So. And that event is tonight, and again, you can find out more information about all the events by going to odysseybks.com. We also have the book list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Joan, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And
it's great to see you.
We'll see you very soon, and it won't be even
Book
6
Expo,
months.
Probably.
That's right.
A couple
we'll see
weeks.
You in a few weeks. And Chrysler, delight to meet you. Thank you very much for
Thank
coming
you,
in.
Thank you, Joe.
I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.